As early as 2007, two of Arne Fugelbog's crew members tried to alert authorities to his illegal fishing. One would not go on the record for fear being blacklisted by the fishing community, but the other is talking on tape for the first time. Dan Price was reluctant, but agreed to meet at a diner near his home in the lower 48. He gives an example of how they'd fish someplace like the central Gulf of Alaska instead of where they were supposed to, west of Kodiak.
It's over a 20-hour run. So to run out there will cost you thousands of dollars in the fuel. There's no numbers of fish there. What you can do in a 10-hour period in Central Gulf is going to take you a week west of Kodiak. Plus, it's going to cost you at least an extra $5,000 to $10,000 in expenses. So to save that and to save time so we could get home or he could get to his meetings, we all into it because it got us home sooner, too.
Price worked on the vessel, the Camelar, for 16 years, starting when Arne Fugelvog's dad was in charge. He stayed on board when Arne took over, until Price lost his job in 2005. He says the crewman who replaced him had his own quotas to fish, which meant the boat could catch more. He got upset watching Fugelvog rise through the ranks of the fishing management world, sitting on major councils that allowed him to shape policy and gain influence. Yet Price knew that even as Fugelvog was held up as a model fisherman, he'd been breaking the rules for over a decade. Fugelvog went to Washington to work for Senator Murkowski on fisheries issues in the fall of 2006, and the following spring, Dan Price started calling law enforcement. At first, he was scared, using anonymous payphones and trying to find out if he would get in trouble, but he says the feds told him they weren't in the habit of hanging out to dry the people who helped them. On May 11, 2007 alone, Price's phone records show 9 calls to National Marine Fisheries law enforcement in Alaska. He says initially the feds seemed interested. A crew member who shared Price's concerns and knew he was blowing the whistle tipped Price off in June 2007 that the Camelar was docking in Petersburg with illegal fish. Now, Arne Fugelvog was not on board. He'd gone to Washington, leaving in charge a hired skipper. But Price says evidence on the boat could have exposed information about when Fugelvog was captain.
I called the National Marine Fisheries and told them, here's your opportunity to get the logbooks, get the computer, and find out that I was telling the truth. All they had to do was do a standard boarding. If they did a regular detail boarding, they'd find the illegal fish and they'd give them probable cause to do everything that they needed to do to get the information.
One day later, federal officers with National Marine Fisheries, or NMFS, boarded the boat and seized rockfish and halibut that weren't reported on the fish ticket. The crew said they were for personal use, not to sell, but it was a lot. The rockfish weighed 1,300 pounds after being headed and gutted. They'd hid the catch, packing the rockfish in 2 totes that were covered in cocoa mats to make them look unused. The feds and state slapped the skipper and boat with about $11,000 in penalties for misdemeanors and violations, including lying to an official. But in the course of the investigation, an Alaska wildlife trooper interviewed a crew member who provided some damning information. The deckhand had been aboard the Camelar for over 20 years and said this has happened every year, once or twice a year. He talks about taking bycatch off the boat at night or offloading to tenders that wouldn't be boarded by authorities. He said he knew it wasn't right, but that if he'd blown the whistle, he would have been out of a job. NMFS officials won't say whether those comments prompted follow-up or if they were looking at a bigger problem than the isolated offense of taking home bycatch. But Dan Price says they contacted him.
It was very shortly after, within a day or a couple of days, they called and they asked me to wear a wire. They asked me if I would wear a hidden mic and contact Arne, and I just told them no. And the reason is because Arne and I aren't friends, because I was pissed at him for taking my job. I told him no, it won't do any good, and there's no point to it. Plus, it would tip the hand, I thought.
After that, Price heard nothing. He says when he called NMFS, he was told a variety of things, including that the case was being pursued by the state, but no news on what the feds were doing about his accusations against Fugelvog, which were much bigger than failing to report home pack on a fish ticket. Price's phone records show at least 16 calls to NMFS law enforcement that fall.
The next time I called, they told me that their supervisors, the people in charge of the Juneau Enforcement Office, they said that their boss had told them that the case was over, they had done a complete and thorough investigation, they could find no wrongdoing, and that the case was closed.
But Price and 3 other longtime crew members say back in 2007 and 2008, authorities never questioned them as part of an investigation. Whether the feds dug into Price's claims is unknown. APRN has requested records, but the recent acting director of NOAA's Office of Law Enforcement, Alan Reisenhoover, would not be interviewed and said in writing that it does not comment on whether it is or has been conducting investigations, and that it takes all complaints seriously and acts on them as needed. So Fugelvog stayed at his job at Senator Murkowski's office, and Dan Price grew increasingly upset. Then in April 2009, Fugelvog had been so successful in Washington that he was one of two candidates being considered to run the National Marine Fisheries Service. Price found out almost by accident.
I was just calling to say hello to one of the crew, and his wife said, "Oh, you heard about Arnie?" And I was like, "What?" And he said, "Oh, he's going to be the head of the National Marine Fisheries Service." And I said, "My ass." And they said, "Yeah." I said, "I got to go." And I sat right down and I stayed up all night and I just started typing out as much as I could, writing a letter, trying to expose everything that I could.
Price says he couldn't believe that the man he'd been trying to turn in for 2 years might run the very agency Price was trying to make listen.
At first, I called up the National Marine Fisheries Office in Juneau and I asked them what happened to the case from before. And they told me that there never had been one. I guess this was April of 09. And they told me that there never was a case. There was never any conversation. There never was an investigation. There was no case against Arnie Fugelvog.
Price spent the summer trying to get a response. He sent out his email detailing his claims against Fugelvog to bloggers and anti-catshare activists in the fishing world. Then a crew member came up with the actual logbooks, which showed where they'd really fished, as opposed to what Fugelvog documented in the official logs. Price says he faxed a copy to NIMS law enforcement. But Price never turned to a major media outlet and didn't contact Fugelvog's boss, Senator Murkowski. He says he wanted the authorities to take him seriously. Believing that NIMS was ignoring his information, he finally called the FBI Ethics Office in Anchorage. He heard that NOAA Fisheries Enforcement was being investigated by the Inspector General's Office of the Commerce Department, so he emailed the IG's office in July and called its complaint hotline.
That night at like 9, 10, or 11 o'clock at night, I got a phone call with a conference call with five federal agents, and they talked to me for 2.5 hours, and just asking me the entire, from start to finish, what happened.
Price got a follow-up email in October from a special agent in the Inspector General's Investigations Wing apologizing for the delays and asking to talk more. Meanwhile, other things were starting to happen. Price's email was making the rounds. It got into the hands of a top guy at Greenpeace USA, John Hocevar, the Oceans Campaign Director. He took it seriously, even though he didn't know the former fisherman who'd written it.
The allegations that we received really had a lot of information about, where the fishing was taking place, the amount of money involved. It really lended a certain amount of credibility to the allegations.
Hocevar says he'd gotten similar phone calls claiming that Fugelvog had for years illegally fished. So in June 2009, he forwarded the email to the woman responsible for hiring the new NIMS director, Dr. Jane Lubchenco, the head of NOAA. Hocevar did not hear back, but assumed his message got through.
While I didn't receive a response from Jane Lubchenco, I was pretty confident that she would take action. You know, it's not unusual for them to avoid wanting to comment on things that involve legal issues.
By the end of July, news reports said Lubchenco had reopened her search for a NIMS head. The Massachusetts newspaper, the Gloucester Times, reported that weeks earlier, the acting director of NIMS was told he'd be sticking around longer than planned. Fugelvog officially pulled his name out of consideration on July 31st, saying the process was taking too long. But it turns out by then, an investigation was underway, and crew members were being interviewed. NOAA's Dr. Lubchenco will not comment on the timing. APRN caught up with her in Washington at a recent event where the U.S. pledged to combat illegal fishing. Asked about vetting Fugelvog for the NIMS job, Lubchenco had this to say.
It's not appropriate for me to comment on individuals, but, I've been following the progress of that story as it's unfolded.
Lubchenco would not say whether she passed along any information about Fugelvog to the White House, since the NIMS job was a presidential appointment, or to the two Alaska senators who were supporting the hometown fisherman in his bid, Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich. But a NOAA spokesman writes that no one outside of NOAA would be told about ongoing investigations. Bloggers and critics have asked how Senator Murkowski could not have known that her staffer was being accused by his own crew members and was then under investigation for a year and a half. The senator says she didn't find out until the end of 2010, but John Hocevar with Greenpeace says the rumors were making the rounds.
Impossible for me to imagine that Senator Murkowski was not aware of these allegations. I can't imagine that.
Senator Murkowski insists she didn't know, and nothing was reported in major media outlets.
I'm not quite sure what it was that people were hearing, because we weren't hearing it. We weren't hearing it. I would not have hired anybody on my staff that was the subject of an investigation.
So Fugelvog kept his job until 2 months ago, one day before he was formally charged. Dan Price admits he's not guilt-free. As captain, Fugelvog may not have told the crew everything, but men like Price knew some of what they were doing was illegal. So why did he do it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I guess there's no excuse for it, really. I mean, it is, maybe we were complicit, but I don't make the laws.
And Fugelvog did influence the laws through his seats on councils as a Senate aide and representing Petersburg and Alaska on the national stage. Now, instead of being the country's top fisherman, Arnie Fugelvog awaits his sentencing hearing and faces 10 months behind bars. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey,